Thank you. I thank the Lord for allowing me to be back another Saturday afternoon. Come by the way of radio. I appreciate the Lord having mercy on me today and being long-suffering to me, giving me the free gift of eternal life. I tell you, it's never been, I've never been the same ever since the Lord, Jesus Christ, got a hold of my heart, made me a brand-new creature. I tell you, I've been new. I tell you, He didn't halfway save me, but I tell you, He totally, completely saved my soul from hell. And I'm thankful for that today, knowing that, of course, he did a great work in my life, and the good work He began in me, He'll fulfill it in the day of the Lord Jesus. I don't have to worry about trying to keep myself, because I'm kept by the power of God. And I'm still with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. But I do have a commission of God to go out about and to live right and to establish good works and do my best to please Him. He's called me and chosen me to be a soldier. He didn't give me a license of sin. But I tell you one thing I will do. I'll confess my sin every day, whether it just be a thought of foolishness or whatever it may be. The Bible says we must pray daily, cleansing ourselves daily, cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. And, of course, the Bible says in spirit, perfecting in the wholeness, in the fear of God. It began to say we need to cleanse ourselves each and every day from the filthiness of the flesh and go on and strive to perfect wholeness in the fear of God. And I tell you, I love Him today. I appreciate Him saving my soul, giving me the free gift of eternal life. I tell you, I've never been the same ever since the Lord Jesus Christ got a hold of my heart, made me a brand new creature. He'll do the same for you today if you've never been saved. And I tell you, He'll make you a new creature. If you just want Him above life itself and you seek Him with a whole heart, He'll save your soul just like you are. I tell you, you'll never be the same when Jesus gets a hold of your heart and makes a new creature out of you. I tell you, I know what I'm talking about today. He made a new creature out of me. I tell you, I hope He'll do the same for you. I hope you'll trust His word and repent of your sins and call on Him that He'll be able to do the same for you. The Bible said He's very nigh to them that call on Him in truth, and those that have a broken heart, He's there for you. You just got to plead the blood of Jesus, cry out, and ask for mercy, forgiveness. He'll save you just like you are, and you'll never be the same. I tell you today. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about a little bit here in the Word of God, and of course about the rich man, talking about how hard it is for a rich man in the kingdom of God. I want to share that with you today, a few other things that the Lord gave me today. I tell you, I just preach or read whatever the Lord gives us. That's what we'll do today, because we're not coming to look good or sound good, and definitely not come asking for your dollar, trying to be impressive to you. But one thing I've come to do is do God's will and preach His word. And if I do that, I know that my hands will be freed from the blood of all men, and I know that people's course will be benefited, and conviction will fall upon people that are hearing the word of God. Those that's not saved, that's what it's going to take for them to be saved. They're going to have some Holy Ghost convictions, and they got to be preached to. The Bible said there's no way they can hear without a preacher, and he can't preach unless they be sent. They're going to have to be a preacher to preach the Word of God. I believe people can testify, of course, preach through the Word of testimony and things of that sort, but God uses His body, to deal with other people, to deal with those that are lost. He's got to use His body. If somebody's not saved, He can't use them to win somebody to the Lord. Yeah, I tell you, even though if they try to give out tracts and things of that sort, the Holy Spirit has got to convict them. And I tell you, it comes by using His body, because the Holy Ghost is in every born-again believer. And I tell you, that's what comes out of you. And that's what touches people's lives and hearts, that Spirit that's within you. I tell you, that's what causes you to love everybody. That's what causes you to love the Lord. I tell you, He made you a new creature. And the Bible said when He did that, He put Himself in you. The Bible said He put His presence in you. Therefore, you know Him, thank God, and He knows you. And I tell you, He gives you that spirit to get out there and to win the lost, the spirit of love, spirit of meekness. I tell you, He puts it in you when you get saved, and you never are the same. I tell you, He's, of course, precious to me today, and I can't talk enough about it. I tell you, really, I can't really explain how good it is to me, but all I can do is try. And I tell you, He wants to do it for everyone, but He's waiting on you. But today, in the Bible, Mark talked about these things. Of course, it talked about the parable of the sower. He talked about these things. And of course, in Matthew chapter 19, I want to read to you today. And it talked about in chapter number 19. Talked about then in verse number 16 of Matthew. He said, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He said, "Good master, now what can I do? What shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to them, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. but thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, the Lord knew his heart. He knew who this person was, and he began to deal with him about himself. See, he thought that he was good. He thought that his goodness was going to get him to heaven. And see, he come to the Lord and said, thou good master. He said, what shall I do and have eternal life? And that's why, of course, the Lord Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. He was trying to deal with this man's heart. He was trying to bring some things to light in his life that he wasn't good. He said, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said. The man said, which of them? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. He said, what lack I yet? He said, I've done all these things from a child. I've been good, and I hadn't done any of these things. I've kept these commandments, he said. And Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You see, the Lord got right down where this man's heart was. His heart was on his riches. His heart was on his possessions. And see, the Lord knew his heart. See, you can try to do good. You can try to keep all the commandments. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've not been made righteous on the inside, never been born again, you'll die in sin and go to hell. Keeping the commandments won't get you to heaven. Being good won't get you to heaven. Like we said so many times, joining the church won't get you to heaven. I'm talking about if that's all you got. Being baptized in the water is not going to get you to heaven. But I promise you, if you get saved and get born again, you'll get to heaven. But see, once you've been born again, then you do join the church where God's put you. Then you do get baptized in the water. I believe in those things, but you can't get to heaven by those things only. You got to have, of course, the witness on the inside. You got to have the Lord come and convict you of your sin. You got to be sorry that you sinned against him. You got to repent with all your heart. He's got to transform you and change you on the inside, put his spirit in you. Then, and only then, can you get to heaven. I tell you, you got to be born again. You got to be born from the Spirit from above. If you don't, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. That's another thing. When Jesus, of course, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he got right down where he lived. He got right down to the heart of Nicodemus. I mean, Nicodemus was the ruler of the Jews. The Bible said he was a master in Israel. The Bible said he knew the law, no doubt. He went about to establish the law, no doubt, tried to do his best. And somehow, like I heard one say, and a pastor said, he was a member of the Sanhedrin court of the 70 elders there. I tell you something, he knew about the law. But when he came to Jesus by night, Jesus said, verily, verily, I said unto thee, Nicodemus, thou must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can I enter my mother's womb a second time and be born? I understand these things. I don't understand these things. And Jesus being to say, thou art a master in Israel, and you do not understand these things. He said, lest you be born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born is flesh, and that which is born is spirit. Like he said, that which is born of water is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. See, you got to be born from the spirit from above. Like my pastor said so many times, if you've been born one time, you'll die twice. If you get born twice, you'll die one time. That's talking about, of course, in the body, not soul. But see, most people, of course, when they don't get saved, what happens is they will die a second time. The Bible said there's a second death. And it talked about when mankind dies and goes to hell. Of course, when it's all over, time of the white throne judgment, of course, and when Jesus begins to call up and delivers up death and hell, which is where the body and soul is. Death is where the body is, and soul, of course, hell is where the soul is. When he delivers them up, he said those names, of course, it's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, they're cast out into a second death. And they talked about that. Everyone, of course, is dies in sin and goes to hell. There's no way you're going to get to heaven. I tell you, nobody can pray you out of hell. You must be born again now. I tell you something, when he delivers them up out of hell, they're going to be judged according to the Word of God. The Bible said the book's going to be open. It talked about that. The Word of God's going to be open. And all that they knew and all the knowledge they had of the Word of God and about their soul, about salvation, and, of course, about degrees of sin. The Bible said there's going to be degrees in hell like there'd be rewards in heaven. So, therefore, they're going to be judged at that time. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to go to hell. The Bible said that, of course, Jesus came to keep you out of hell. The Bible talked about these things. And the Bible said, therefore, you need to fear God. You need to fear Him. Don't fear him as they would just kill the body, but you better fear God, who's able. Of course, he's the one that's in controlling of your soul. He, of course, has mercy on you, and his grace is extended to you every day. But if you reject the Son of God, there's going to come a time when you'll die in your sin and you'll go to hell just as sure as you're born. But this man was, of course, had great possessions, and he his heart was on his money. But see, Jesus gets right down to where you live, and that's what he did with Nicodemus. He realized Nicodemus thought too. Of course, he came to Jesus, and he said, "Thou believe that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do the miracles that you do." And he began to see something different in him. And see, the Lord began to deal with him, and I believe the man got saved. He brought some precious and costly ointment to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talked about that after he was crucified. But the Bible said this man here, his heart was on his possessions. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. In other words, if you'll give up everything, in other words, if you'll give me your heart, that's what he was asking for. He was asking for his heart. He wasn't asking for the man's money. He was asking for his heart, because his heart was on his money. And the Lord wants your heart. He wants the whole, of course, soul of you. He wants you to come to a point in your life where nothing else matters. Your riches don't matter. Your companion don't matter as far as getting in the way of you being saved. Nothing else matters but being saved and really confessing your sin, not holding on to anything, but you're willing to give it all up so that you might obtain the pearl of great price. You've got to be like the man that went and found, of course, a great treasure in the field. So he went and sold all he had. He might purchase this field. Then he might obtain this great treasure that was in the field. Talked about a man, he searched all over, and he finally found the pearl of great price, and he went and sold all his other pearls, I believe it was, and his things, that he might come and buy this one pearl of great price. So you don't have anything anyway outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The riches of this world, the things of this life, are just temporal anyway. They're going to pass away. You're not going to get it past the grave. I don't care if they bury you with your new car and you, all your money and your bank account, your savings account, and everything you throw in there with you. I tell you, you're not going to get it past the grave. I tell you, you're not going to be able to leave this life and take it with you. I'm going to tell you, folks, only the most important thing in this life is your soul. And you need to be willing to give up every fleshly thing in this life, all these temporal things, that you might obtain him, that you might be saved. The Bible said when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I mean, he went away sorrowful. He didn't get down and really see himself and really just cry out to him for mercy and forgiveness of sin, but yet his heart was on his money. The Bible said, then Jesus said unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man," the Bible said, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." He said it's very hard for him because his heart was on his money. See, riches can steal away your heart. I tell you, riches can turn you around and cause you to feel that you have no need for God, that you don't have no need for salvation, because you have everything at your disposal, at your fingertips. You can get anything you want. You can buy what you want. You can pay your way out of things. There's many people that are rich, and a lot of course ball players and actors too. I mean, they got so much money that when they get in trouble with the law, they can just put up the money, and 9 times out of 10, the charges are dropped, or they can do some little thing, and it's all over, and no more said about it. But you take a poor man, he'll go to jail for the rest of his life. He'll go, and he'll have to do 10, 20 years for the same crime, because he didn't have money to put up and to buy off lawyers and to buy off judges and things of that sort. And you better believe it's going on. But the Bible said here that a rich man is going to be hard for him to enter in because his heart's on his money, and it's still away your heart. Be careful. I tell you that you do not let the things of this world steal away your heart. Riches is one of the greatest things that will steal away your heart. I mean, just worldly pleasures and anything of this life. I tell you, folks, the devil will take it, and he'll begin to work on your mind, telling you why you shouldn't and why you couldn't and why you should not give up these things that you're holding on to. See, that's why a lot of people don't get saved. They'll go to the altar and they'll try to pray, but yet they still hold on to something. There's something in their life that they won't let loose. I mean, one particular lady, she began to try to get saved, and she, for a long time, she couldn't get saved because she was concerned about what her mother and her family was going to think and things of that sort, and maybe her family, and there's other people too, the same way. They was concerned about what their people would think about them and things of that sort. And see, the devil has something for everybody. Some people, some men, make young men or men, they have a girlfriend, and they feel that if, of course, they get saved, that they'll have to, of course, she'll lead them because of the way that he'll live for Jesus, or vice versa. A young lady, of course, and afraid she's going to lose her boyfriend or things of that sort, or maybe going to lose a husband or a wife or things of this sort. The devil work on him any way and every way he can. I tell you, the devil's strong. And I tell you, if you're drinking from the well of the world and the slop of the devil, he'll tell you and try to explain to you how good and how wonderful it is for you to partake of these sins. The devil work on you and on your flesh, and he'll work on you this way. I tell you something, he blinds you how wonderful it is and precious it is to really be saved and not have to worry about drawing from the well of the world. But I tell you, the devil is strong, and he'll take away your heart. But the Bible said it was hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And the Bible said all things are possible. I tell you, I believe in household salvation. I believe in prayer. I believe if we pray and labor over souls that God has committed to our trust, that he'll save them. I believe that. I really do. I believe God will, of course, remember. I believe our prayers will come up before memorial before God, and he'll remember the prayers, and I believe he'll deal with them, and he'll begin to deal with their hearts in such a way that they'll get humble enough to be saved. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. I believe if a man is rich and he's hard-hearted, I believe through prayer, if God gives you prayer for him, the Lord's able to turn around and save him. But you have so many people are puffed up and blown up and feel they have no time for God. I mean, a lot of people that way in this life, they feel like they got it all worked out, figured out. Some of them so intelligent that they don't need God. Can you imagine that? I mean, some of them so intelligent, they don't even need God. I mean, they're so foolish in their thinking, so ignorant in their thinking that they think, well, I really don't need God. I don't really have to worry about this. Well, it's not really true anyway. There's not really a God. I mean, that's the way the devil works on people's mind. I mean, oh, just look, well, this thing happened because of this happened, the Big Bang Theory. Oh, all these types of things. Scientists said this, and millions and trillion years ago, we had this. And, I mean, we wasn't even here that long ago. I mean, God created this world, I believe, 6,000 years ago. It talked about that. I don't know the exact math totally, completely, but I tell you, it hadn't been that long. And I tell you, you have people tell you that that animal's been here for millions of years, but it's not so. I'm going to tell you, some people are so intelligent, they think that they don't need God. I mean, they won't come out and say it with their lips, but in their thinking, that's what they think. I was preaching one time, and one man, he was in the jail, and I preached that they were ignorant. And I included myself that I was also ignorant about things. There's a lot of things that I'm ignorant of and don't know. And I said a lot of them are just ignorant according to the Word of God. And one of them got upset and left. I mean, I figured he thought he was so intelligent. That, I mean, it hurt his feelings. But I'm going to tell you, folks, we got to realize that we're all stupid without God. I mean, I'm first to say I'm very ignorant without God. I mean, I don't have no true understanding according to the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God, I have no understanding of it outside the Spirit letting me know it. I mean, you don't know it. People just got to realize how wretched we really are and how much more we need to know about the Word of God. But I need to learn a whole lot more. I tell you, some people are more intelligent than others. Some have more education, and some have more understanding according to the wisdom of the world. But the Bible talked about, too, that he didn't choose the wisdom of the world, the men of the world that, of course, had the wisdom of this world, but he chose the foolish things to confound the wise. He chose the base things, of course, to put down the mighty, you know, to be able to raise them up, because he knew that they would depend on him. They would learn to depend on him more. I tell you, folks, be careful what you do and what you let riches do to you, because it is still away your heart. And I begin to think about this and think about also the Lord led me over to about the parable of the sower, talked about the sower of the seed. It talked about when the Word of God was sown and how those that heard the Word, of course, first of all, when the Bible said when the sower came to sow, he sowed seed and some fell on the wayside. And the Bible said those that fell on the wayside, that the foul air came and stole away the seed that was sown. Now, the foul air is the devil. The Bible said it's Satan. And the word that falls on the wayside, the Bible said, is those that don't understand the word. The Bible said the devil comes and steals it away. He steals it away. They talked about that. Immediately, that the devil comes, when it falls on the wayside, he takes it out of the heart. The Bible talked about that. He said that, of course, there's some that was sown, of course, on stony ground. And, of course, when the seed was sown on stony ground, the Bible said they received it with gladness, but yet the seed having no root in itself, it perished. It didn't have no
moisture, didn't have no root to grow, so therefore it didn't take root. See, you don't get saved unless the Word of God, the seed that was sown, takes root in your life. And the Bible said, of course, when the Bible said when the seed was sown, of course, among thorns, that the Bible said that the things of the world, the Bible said that the cares of the world and the deceitful of riches, the Bible said the lust of other things entered in, choked the Word. The Bible said it becomes unfruitful. And I want to talk to you about that today, that you be careful that you don't choke the Word of God. Don't let the devil cause you to choke the Word today that was sown, the Word that God is speaking your heart about, letting you see yourself as a sinner. Don't let the devil come. Don't let the things of this world, your riches and the things and the pleasures that's in your flesh and all these things choke the Word of God. And that seed that was spoke today, the Word that was spoken today, will become unfruitful to you because you let the things of this life hinder you. The deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world, the Bible said, come in and they'll choke the Word of God. God help you today that you do not choke the Word, but you'll receive it. Receive it with gladness, with joy, and really believe what you've heard and confess your sin and the Word that was sown today. If you'll believe that, what happens is that seed that was sown will take root in your heart. See, the Bible said that through preaching, that will bust up the ground of your heart, that will soften your heart. The Word that preached today, the Holy Spirit will soften your heart. It will soften it up. And when the seed is preached and sown, it will take root. You'll believe it. And when it dies, when you really believe that and you die to self, what happens is that seed will come up, and of course you'll be a born-again creature, and you'll go forth and you'll bring forth good fruit. The Bible said now, and these are they which are sown on good ground, and such as hear the Word and receive it. They hear the Word all right, and they don't just only hear it, but they receive it. You got to realize what it's saying here. You got to do more than just hear the Word of God. I tell you, most people, they hear the Word, but they don't do nothing about it. I'm telling you, most people, I tell you, people in hell today, they heard the Word, but they didn't do anything about it. You think about the children of Israel, the Bible said they heard the Word, they was preached as well, but the Word's preached unto them. They did not mix it with faith, so therefore they could not enter in. And that's the only way. Today is for you to get to heaven. The Word that's preached today, you got to mix it with faith. You got to believe what you're hearing. You got to hear the Word, then you got to receive it into your heart. You got to believe it. You got to believe the gospel. You got to believe that Jesus, of course, is the Son of God and that He died and He was resurrected from the dead. You got to believe it. You got to believe the death, burial, resurrection. You got to confess your sin to God. And if you'll confess your sin to God, He's faithful and just. He'll cleanse you and save you from the eternal and the damnation of hell. He'll bring you up out of the horrible pit. He'll put your feet on the solid rock and He'll bring you forth and send you forth out to bring forth much fruit. The Bible said these are they which are sown on good ground. The Bible says such as hear the Word and receive it. They hear it and they receive it. The Bible said and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. I tell you, when you get saved, you'll bring forth some fruit. You'll bring forth some fruit. I believe everybody that's been saved brings forth some kind of fruit. Whether they live for God or not, I believe they have some type of fruit. I believe, of course, every man has a measure of faith. I believe every man, of course, when you get saved because you had faith in Him. And I believe God, He has faith in you. And I believe He puts a measure of faith in you to believe Him. I tell you, but a lot of people just don't exercise their faith. A lot of people that are saved, they don't exercise their faith. They just live after the flesh, and they don't trust God, and they live according to the world. The Bible talked about He's going to take them out. They're going to die before their time. They're going to have a great loss. The Bible said, and they're going to lose a lot. They're going to be ashamed before a man is coming and suffer a great loss. They're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to give an account. We all are for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. That's why Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He said, be sure that every man is going to give an account for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So be careful what you do with the Word of God today, even being saved. But the Bible talked about this. That we, of course, are saved, he said to them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel. Now, what is a candle for? Is a candle, is it meant for it to be lit and put under a bed or a bushel? Or is a candle made that you put it out where it is sent forth some light? He said here, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or in a bed? He said not to be set on a candlestick. Now, the candle, the Bible said, is made that you put on the candlestick. that it might be for it to be able to give some light. Of course, if your power goes out, you have candles, you put in the candle holder, cut in the candlestick, it's going to give some light into your house, because the light, of course, is going to bring, it's going to be in the darkness, and the darkness is going to have to flee, so to speak, because there's the light around. And the Bible talked about, we are the light of the world, the Bible said. He said, now, of course, the light, we are the light of the world, and we're not to hide our light, but we're to let it shine out into the world, that they may see the light, they may glorify and see our works, and that it may glorify our Heavenly Father. He said, now, for these, the Bible said, for there is nothing hid which should not be manifested, and neither was anything kept secret, but that it should not come abroad. Now, I want you to realize that scripture. I sent another place, and the Lord brought it back. I didn't know it was here. I know the Lord's speaking to someone about this. Now, nothing's going to be hid. Nothing's going to be hid. Everything's going to be brought to light. There's nothing hid in your life that God don't know about. He knows everything about you. He knows every sin you've committed. But you got to get honest with yourself. You got to get honest with the Lord. See, the Lord knew this man. He knew this rich man. This man had great possession. And also, he knew that this man was not going to, he knew his heart was on his riches. And the man just come and said, good master, what must I do? And see, Jesus knew him already. Jesus knows you already. He knows where your heart's at. He knows where your treasure is. And the Bible said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. But I see, folks, you got to get your heart and your mind and your affections on God. You got to seek him while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. If you don't, then you'll miss heaven just as sure as you're born. But the Bible said there's nothing here which shall not be manifested. This was anything kept secret, but that should become abroad. If any man hear, have ears, let him hear. Let him hear, the Bible said. And the Bible said, take heed what you hear. For what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And unto you, and the Bible said, unto you hear, the Bible said, and unto you that hear shall be forgiven. For then he that hath, to him it shall be given, and he that hath not shall be taken away from what he hath. The Bible talked about these things. You got to give your heart. The Bible said, if a man seek to save his life, he's going to lose it. The Bible said, but if you lose your life, you shall find it. He said, if you'll give up your life, you don't have one anyway without Jesus, but if you'll just give up your heart, the things in your heart, your treasures that you have today in the flesh, if you'll give them up, give it up. The Bible said, lose your life. The Bible said, you'll find it. You got to be willing to give up your life, give up everything in your life that you may receive it. If you'll do that, he'll save you. He'll make you a new creature. I mean, even the rich man can enter the kingdom of God if he gets his heart, right? If he'll get his heart off his riches and get his mind on God and seek him while he may be found, he'll get saved. But most of the time, people are so bound up, the deceitfulness of riches, the Bible said in that scripture, they choke the word. So don't let the devil, the things of this life, choke the word that you've been listening to me preach about, but take it to heart and really listen to it, hear it, and receive it, and then you can get saved. I tell you, I love you today. I appreciate what God give us, and I hope and pray that it was a blessing to you. My time's come and gone. I want you to write to us and pray for us, and God bless you in Jesus' precious name, and amen.